Well, welcome everybody. So thankful that you're here. And as I was just sitting, letting the love of God kind of guide my heart as we were doing that, you know, God just spoke into my spirit. He loves me in good times and bad, in good sermons and in bad. And so I'm resting in that today. I'm not going to speak to you for God's love. I'm speaking to you from God's love. And I needed to be reminded of that. That no matter what happens between you and me over the next 35 minutes or so, man, God's love is already mine, and it's already yours. It's already yours in spite of whatever you're about to hear, whatever God's going to call you into next. He already loves you right where you are. We're in a series of teaching called Dysfunctional People. We've talked about dysfunctional me, right? It starts with me, dysfunctional marriages. And today on Father's Day, guys, we're going to talk about dysfunctional men. Dysfunctional men. Now, what we're going to talk about applies to all of us across the board to some degree, but we're going to talk about men specifically today, and my hope and prayer is that you're encouraged by this. I'm not trying to put anything on you guys. I'm really trying to call something out of you that God's already put inside of you, and that's the hope and prayer today, is that you step into that fully. When I look up the word dysfunctional, Merriam-Webster says that the word dysfunction means not functioning properly. It's marked by impaired or abnormal functioning. And that can apply to relationships, where relationships are characterized by abnormal or unhealthy interpersonal behavior or interaction. I'm convinced that many men today are dysfunctional. Y'all agree with that? Don't look at them or point at them, but can we just agree? There are a lot of dysfunctional men. That's to say, there are men who are not functioning according to the way that God designed them to function. They are impaired in their purpose or unhealthy in their interpersonal behavior and interactions. And so you may wonder, okay, so what does a functional man look like? How are we supposed to look? And so if you ask culture, you would get varying answers. I think in my own lifetime, as I thought about what culture's told me a real man was, I've thought about several requirements. When I was a little bitty boy, there was this guy called the Marlboro Man. Do any of y'all remember the Marlboro Man? All right, this man was rugged, chiseled face, weathered cowboy hat, got the cig hanging, of course, right, the Marlboro. But this man was independent, strong, handled himself. He don't need nothing from nobody. But after that, I learned about a macho man. Any of y'all remember Macho Man? And the weird thing about Macho Man is that the village people were telling me what a macho man was, and the village people were anything but macho men, but I was told to be a macho man. I want to be a macho man. And then in the 90s, I learned about being a metrosexual man. Fellas, you're supposed to know about fashion and getting your hair did and getting you a mani-pedi and all this stuff, and you're like, I'm gonna stick with country music, I think, right? But there was this metrosexual movement. This is what a real man is. In the 2000s, it was an alpha male. Oh yeah, alpha male. You're the lead dog in this bunch, right? And so that was kind of celebrated, but then that came kind of fell out of fashion. And now if you look up alpha male, you find that there's alpha male, beta male, gamma male, delta male, sigma male, and omicron male. It's about the whole Greek alphabet worth of males. All these different kind of guys. And what it's led me to believe is if you're listening to culture, culture is really confused and can't define what a real man is. But when you ask God, and that's what we're going to do today, when you ask God, I want you to hear, when you say to God, God, what is a man and how's a man supposed to function? Please hear me. God is not confused. And God will not be mocked. I think in our culture, thinking ourselves wise in this day, we're fulfilling what Romans 1 says, thinking ourselves wise, we have become fools. And I want to put an adjective in front of fools, but we in church and I can't say it. Right? Thinking we're all smart and thinking we're all progressing, we have become absolute fools. Jesus was once asked about marriage and divorce, and he offered a clear teaching about the way God designed us. Okay, this is not what I'm teaching about today, but it's forming a foundation. In Matthew 19, the Bible says, some Pharisees came to Jesus testing him and asking him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? And Jesus answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning, and now he's quoting from Genesis, made them male and female, and for this reason a man leaves his father and mother and he's joined to his wife and the two become one flesh. I heard a guy one time say, before you determine what you are, you need to determine whose you are. Because whose you are, that person will get to tell you what you are. Now, you're here in this house today, you're worshiping with us, maybe for the thousandth time or maybe for the first time, but you need to know in this house we believe in God the Father, Christ the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the three-in-one God. And in this house, followers of Jesus, we believe that we belong to Him. We belong to Him. And so, therefore, He gets to tell us what we are, and He has said you're either male or female. Now, that's God's design, and I'm not trying to be mad or mean toward anybody. I'm just saying culture has some answers, and God has some answers. And God is inviting us to not conform to the culture, but to inform the culture of what God has said. Now, God made you to be a man for a purpose and a function. And He wants you to live true to your design without impairment and in a healthy way so that when you start living according to God's design, I'm convinced you become much more fun even in the midst of all the dysfunction that is around us. That is to say, you can begin to be men, a life giver, a joy bringer, a peace provider, and a blessing bringer to the people and circumstances in which you walk into. Now, what kind of man does God want you to be? Well, we're going to look today at a man's life named Abraham. Okay, his story is going to be in Genesis 18. So if you have a Bible, open to Genesis 18. Here's what you need to know about Abraham. Abraham is called two things: father of the faith, friend of God. When you read the rest of the scripture, Abraham is called the father of faith and the friend of God. God wants you to be that same kind of man. He wants you to be both his friend and a father of faith toward others. That's what God's saying. He wants you to learn to walk with him in such a way that you reflect God's heart and other people say, dude, I want what you got. I want what you have. Now, ladies, can I say something to you? What we're going to talk about today is what you need to expect from your man. All right, so all the single ladies. This kind of guy is what you're looking for. All right, this is what you need to pray for, ladies. You need to pray your man can become. You need to be patient while God brings him and celebrate him every step of the way. Don't dog him when he messes up so much as you praise him when he gets it halfway close to right. Let God bring you along to help partner him. Most cases, our wives are a little ahead of us, so ladies, we're asking you to pray that we can catch up and celebrate us as we do, okay? Now, Abraham lived in a decaying culture. The outcry of two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, had reached the ears of God, and God had come, sent some representatives down to earth to check it out, to decide, is it as bad as they say it is? And so these angels are coming to check it out. Now, Abraham also lives in a day of spirituality being everywhere, but watch this, there's spirituality everywhere, but worship of the one true God resides with a man. Abraham is different from all these other people worshiping all this other stuff. God made Abraham to be, and man, I'm convinced God made you to be salt and light in a dark and a decaying culture. That's the call for the day. He's not asking you to live like everybody else. He's asking you to be different, to function as a change agent. God made Adam and he said, bring my kingdom, multiply and fill this earth with image bearers. Men, that's your mission. To bear this image and to multiply this image in the people that you meet. Now, on his way to Sodom and Gomorrah, God stopped by Abraham's house, and he revealed to us the kind of man he wants for you to be. Genesis 18, verse 16 says, now the men rose up from there and looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and a mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Why? For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the result is the Lord can bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Now stop right there in the story and say, let's unpack that a bit. Here's what God designed you to be, men. First of all, God designed you to live in close connection with him. Now I'm trying to make that as simple and as tangible to, that you can handle, you know, have handles. God wants you to have a close connection to God, not come to church, not try not to do so much bad stuff, not check your man card. He's saying to you, I want you to be closely connected to me. It says God chose Abraham, like the NFL draft where teams choose players that they see potential in, that they see capacity in, that could help their team to ultimately win. God looks and he sees you and he sees the purpose that he's made you for and he's picked you. Now here's the cool thing. The word choose in Hebrew actually means to know. Means to know. It's a word that speaks of intimate knowledge. It talks about, I know, I recognize, I see the deepest, most hidden things about you. I see it, and I want to have connection with you and for you to see the deepest things about me too. Okay? It's a picture of a man and woman in intimacy. God's inviting you to have that kind of closeness and oneness with him. That's what he's trying to invite you into. God knows you, men. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipresent. He's always there. He's outside of time. And so if you think about it, it can actually be a freeing thing. It can freak you out too, but it can be a freeing thing. God's omniscience, God knowing you, here's what that means. It means you can't surprise God. Y'all ever done something so stupid and you go, I cannot believe I just did that? Right, God goes, I can. I saw that one coming from a long way off, right? You can't surprise God. But hear me, fellas. If you keep doing that same stupid thing and you feel like such a disappointment to God, you're not. How are you going to disappoint an all-knowing God? Isn't that crazy? That's so freeing to me to know that anything I have said or done, I can't disappoint him. He knew me already. Now, it also means you can't get one over on him either. You can't fake him out. He knows. He knows your thoughts before you think them, your words before you say them. He knows you're rising up and you're laying down. You can't trick God. God knows. Now, God knows Abraham. Watch this. He knows him inside and out. He knows what Abraham can handle. He knows what he can't handle. He knows what he could and would do in every circumstance. He knows Abraham's potential. He knows his gifting and propensities. He knows his weaknesses and his frailties and his vulnerabilities. Abraham is far from perfect. He is a hot mess. This dude is one of the most passive men you can ever come across at times. He can also lie like a champ at times to save his own tail. That's the way he is. And yet God knows those things and chooses him anyway, because he also sees the capacity, the upside capacity in Abraham. No, he ain't perfect, but in God's grace, there's a purpose that's going to be fulfilled. God knows. And God, I think, sees you. And he knows you, men, and he has chosen you. He is choosing you to fulfill his purpose in your generation. You're like, man, God can't ever use me. God knows you, bruh. He knows everything that you would offer up as an excuse. He knows every failure that you would think is disqualifying to you. God knows the grace of Jesus covers that. And God says, I put my spirit inside of a man who's in relationship with me, and there's nothing that I can't accomplish through him. Amen. I'm not laying something on you. I'm trying to pull something out of you that God's offering to you, men. He knows you, and he wants you to know him. This idea of intimacy, knowing him, it's a two-way street. That's what this journey in Genesis is about. It's about a dude like you, a guy named Abraham, who could lie, be passive, do stupid stuff, not trust God fully. But over time, God works those things out, and Abraham begins to see and believe that God is good, that his word is true, that his character is faithful, that God is good and loving and powerful, a protector and a blesser, a provider. And the more he walks with God, the stronger this man gets. And God starts to tell stuff to Abraham that don't nobody else get. Why? Because Abraham's close enough to hear his whisper. And God wants you to have that kind of intimacy, fellas. You ain't all that, neither am I. Who is? But if we'll get on a journey with him and let God show us how faithful and how good and how loving and kind and true he is, the more we journey with him, the closer we get with him, the more intimate we become, God will start to reveal things to you ain't nobody else supposed to know. But he's guiding you. He's watching over you. When God works, he chooses to work through men. He'll work through women too, but it's Father's Day. I'm talking about men today. All right? When God works, God doesn't need us, but from Genesis 1, God has chosen to let his kingdom purposes be accomplished through men and women, through people. And so God is looking for men, Pine Lake men. He's looking for men who will be in such close connection with him that he can whisper what he wants and you'll go do it. Now, men, here's the deal. Too often, we let the ladies lead us when it comes to spiritual things. But the Bible says the order is for men to go first, for men to lead out with their wives and with their families. That is not culturally acceptable or cool. I get it. But I don't care. It's what he says, and my job ain't to tell you what you want to hear. My job's to tell you what God says. True? All right, so we're called to live differently, and God's saying, men, let's start with you. I'm convinced that, men, life becomes a whole lot more fun when you know who you are and why you're here and where your purpose comes from. You're a lot more fun because now you're not searching. You're not trying to figure it out. You're not a taker needing somebody else to make me feel like a man. Make me feel like I'm the guy. Make me, you know, make me feel like I'm somebody. No, you got that already. Now you're a giver. And now you got something to offer a hungry world around you and starting in your house. I had lunch not long ago with an old friend who brought a new friend to me to lunch because the new friend was going through some stuff. And this new friend has everything that that the world would say it takes to be a man. In our culture, everything you would script out, he got it. And he's a mess. Been a mess for a year, and God brought him to a place of brokenness. He hit his dark night of the soul where he was like, money can't fix this. Nothing can solve this. Help me. And what we talked about 2 weeks ago when we said, God, heal my soul so that I can learn to love my people right. He's on that journey. And I sat there and watched him at this lunch in a public restaurant through tears say, I don't care anymore what other people think. I've worn the mask long enough. I've played the game long enough. Dude, I'm free now. And I'm more alive. I got more joy. I got more peace than I've ever had in my life. And I was thinking, that is it. That is such a beautiful it. And men, that's what God's calling you to be a part of. To be connected with God, to be known and free. And to know and be confident of who you are and what your life's about. Now, when you're chosen, when you got that right, it leads to the second part of God's design, and that is God's designed you to be the spiritual leader of your family. Look back at verse 19 again. I've chosen him so that, everybody say so that. So that. This is a purpose clause. I've chosen him, why? So that, it's a purpose. So that, he says, he may command his children, that he would do it, not Sarah, his wife, but that Abraham would command his children and his household, everybody else that's around his house, after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing two things, righteousness and justice. Men have largely abdicated, turned over the responsibility of raising your kids spiritually to me and the women in your life. Now, that's not 100% true, but let's be real. That's more true than not true in a lot of cases. It's my job to preach and tell y'all what the Bible says, and you're sitting there thinking, now, why'd I show up, dude? That's what you're supposed to be doing. And it is. We're in partnership, man. I get it, but you got to be the managing partner for your family and their spiritual life. Does that make sense to you? You can't make me the managing partner or your wife the managing partner. You got to be the managing partner for what's going on up in your house. Now, you can bring them here, and we'll partner together, But men, it starts with you. And it's not your wife's job or your mama's job or your grandmama's job to raise kids for you and to point them toward Jesus while you go out there and do whatever life you're doing. God said for men to lead. Now, look, I want to honor women. You are blessings. You influence. But it's Father's Day. We're talking about men. And God designed for men to lead. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, this is in the New Testament. Fathers, men, do not provoke your children to anger, but you bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In the Bible, it's the man's job to raise the kids and not a woman's job. I came across some statistics from the Children and Family Research at UT Austin on the importance of a father's involvement. What happens when a man's present in the home? Here's what their research shows, that when a father is present in the home, kids are 39% more likely to make A's, 45% less likely to have to repeat a grade, 60% less likely to get suspended or expelled from school, 2 times more likely to go to college or to get a good stable job and income, 75% less likely to become a teenage mother or father, and 80% less likely to go to jail. All because you got a daddy present in the home. I love Dr. Tony Evans. He says the reason we have chaos in our world is because men are missing in our homes. Men can quote all kinds of statistics about sports and argue about LeBron and Michael. They can tell you everything Tom Brady's ever done, including what position he was drafted in back in whatever year. All that stuff, but they can't find John 3:16 in the Bible. We got a day and time where men would not dream of letting their child miss a single baseball or soccer tournament anywhere across the Southeast, but on an off Sunday can't find their way to church. He says, if we're going to fix the culture, we cannot skip the family. It starts right here. Don't worry about the White House till you got your house in order. That's what he says. I like Dr. Tony Evans. He's a man's man, just telling us like it is. And again, I'm not hating on travel teams and all that, but I'm saying, where's your priority? What are you really about? Men, we are to teach our kids the way of the Lord. We're supposed to teach our kids how God wants us to get down, how God wants us to roll up in this house. And God said, this is what I want you to teach them. Specifically, verse 19 goes on to say, teach them to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. You see that? Righteousness and justice. Righteousness, men, means we teach our kids about being right with God. That's what it means. To be vertically right with God, to have God's standard and heart as our standard and heart. That we model, that we own, that we pass on, that right and wrong are already established by God through His Word and His principles. You with me? This provides safety and boundary for your kids to be able to go make sense of life out there in the street. They need to know where true north is, what the firm foundation to build their life upon is, and it is God and His righteousness. You with me? So there is this vertical aspect. Now, kids, look at me. Every kid in here, you're a teenager, you're in grade school. Look at me for just a second, because I know it's hard whenever your mom and them telling you what to do, and they're trying to ruin your life with all the rules. I said the same thing. I wanted to run away whenever I was a little boy. I wrote runaway letters. Did anybody else write runaway letters? I'm running away. Didn't help. My mama said, well, I'm going to pack your bags. You know, she's ready for me to run away too. But we think our parents are trying to ruin our lives, but listen to me, kids. Listen to me for just a second. God has opened up for you blessing or curse. Blessing or curse lays right in front of you. You can go look it up in Deuteronomy 30. Blessing and curse based on your willingness to surrender to God's standard of righteousness. You do not have to accept God's standard of righteousness. You can do your own thing and you will experience cursing. Things are not going to end well. I ain't saying things not going to go well temporarily. It will end crushingly in defeat. But at the same time, there's an invitation to you to walk differently, to be differently, to carry yourself in honor to God and experience His goodness. Is it hard? Oh, yes, it is. Do you sometimes get lonely? Unfortunately, yes, but it always ends in blessing. And men, we're supposed to model that first. Righteousness and justice. If righteousness is the vertical, justice is the horizontal. It's meaning that kids ought to learn how to treat people in our house. In our house is where people, our kids ought to learn how to treat people who are disenfranchised, unfortunate, somehow struggling, people that don't agree with us. The people who are struggling, widows, orphans, strangers, that what they should learn how to have justice at home. Now watch this. The reason we got so much crazy in the street is because there's so much crazy in the house. If your house is full of hate, fighting, and unkindness, that's going to land out there. But at the same time, if your house can be filled with love and grace and kindness and conversation, and let's talk this out, and we may not agree, but we'll agree to not agree and still be together. If it's in your house, it can be in the street. My kids watched Christy and me interact and talk about life and work and various things for years, and there were times whenever I didn't really want them to overhear it. But as I've gotten older, I actually enjoy my kids overhearing me and my wife talk about my struggles, her struggles, our struggles. And here's why. There are some things I cannot teach my son or daughters. I can't teach it, but they can watch it. We are not perfect, and we're modeling when we're not perfect, make repair. But I've been struck by, in the last few weeks, just I want my son to watch and to see what I'm learning in a new way. Men, your boys are going to learn to be men by watching you, for better or worse. Men, your little girl is going to go find a man who treats you the way you have modeled treating their mother, for better or worse. That's why I'm convinced that men, as you engage with God and begin to step toward God and become this kind of man, when you engage at home, you make life more fun for everybody in your house. You're going to bring more joy, more love, more laughter, more encouragement. You're going to establish boundaries and rules that are going to let your kids feel safe. And that's going to make life more fun and enjoyable for everybody else under your roof. So I'm connected to God, and I'm beginning to lead that out with my family. And then I start to fulfill the third part of my function and my purpose, which is God designed you to leave a legacy of blessing. He designed you to leave a legacy of blessing. Look at the last part of verse 19 again. So that, here's the result clause. The first one was a purpose clause. God chose you so that you would command your kids and those in your household, blah, blah. So that, here's the result, so that the Lord, as Abraham does his part, God about to do his part. So that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Do you see it? If Abraham will do what Abraham's supposed to do, God's going to do what only God can do. Now, what was God promising to do? Look back at verses 17 and 18. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and a mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth are about to be blessed." God's going to use Abraham to become a great and a mighty nation. Now, at this point in his life, Abraham's got one child. And yet God's saying, bro, you ain't even ready for what I'm about to do through you. And I'm going to bless not you, Abraham, only, not just your family, but I am going to bless the whole earth. The whole earth through you. Man, it leads me to say that God's plan for your life may be bigger than you can fathom. Probably scare you to death if God showed you what's hanging in the balance of your faithfulness to God. But don't worry about what's hanging out down there. You just walk faithfully today. You live with God, in God, with Christ today. And God will make sure the blessing happens. I've heard about the difference between an egg and a coffee bean, that if you put an egg in hot water, the hot water will make the egg hard, right? It'll boil that egg. The circumstances change the egg. But if you put coffee beans in that same hot water, the coffee beans will change the water. You with it? Men, you're either a thermostat or you're a thermometer. You're either reflecting what everybody else is doing and you morph to go along and get along and roll like everybody else rolls, or you're a thermostat, you are setting the temperature, you're not being conformed to everybody else. You're saying, this is how I'm gonna get down and the rest of y'all can come along with me if you want to. You with it? Abraham in a decaying culture influenced the people around him and shifted the waters that people were drinking. He became a blessing. And man, that's exactly what God is calling you to do, to let your life ripple out and touch other people. I'm convinced that you're meant, men, to bring joy and life and blessing and encouragement, fun to the people around you every single day. I want to speak just truthfully, not prophetically, but just truthfully over you. Men in Christ, you are a life giver and a game changer. That's who you are. Stand into that. If you don't believe that's who you are, you'll never do it. But if you can get into your head what God is saying to you today through Abraham, that he's connected to you, he knows you, he's inviting you in, he wants to bring blessing. If you'll go, okay, all right, let's go. I'm a life giver. I'm going to be a game changer wherever I go. God says, no, I got you. The truth is, Abraham's influence really wasn't experienced fully for thousands of years. Abraham never really got to see how his life impacted generations after him. But thousands of years later, through Abraham's family tree, one is born named Jesus. And Jesus has blessed us all. Why? Because one man so imperfectly chose to be a friend of God and became a father of faith. And I'm saying to you, man, you may feel like, dude, man, my life didn't amount to anything. Man, who did I influence in my lifetime? And you may be very, very discouraged, but you do not know how God's going to take the seeds you planted and the influence you had and a few generations from now in your family tree, change the whole thing. Be encouraged. God's going to do it. That's what it says. So that the Lord may bring upon Abraham everything that he's spoken. Abraham didn't have to try to be great. Men, you don't have to try to be great. All Abraham had to do was walk with God, and God said, I'll take care of great. Men, it's okay for you to want to have a life that's influencing to other people. That's awesome. God doesn't want you to not do that. No, 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 you just stay in your lane, mind your business, don't let anybody know. That ain't it. When the disciples came to Jesus and said, we want to be in positions of authority or greatness, Jesus didn't say, you're so stupid. That is not what I want you to do. He said, okay, there's a right way to do it. Serve. What I'm trying to tell you is it's not wrong to aspire to win and to be great and to influence, but do it God's way. And listen, God didn't call Abraham or the disciples to be great in the world's eyes. He called them and affirmed them to be great in the kingdom's eyes. Man, so please hear me. I ain't being your life coach right now trying to teach you how to win at work. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm not even trying to teach you how to have a better marriage or relationship. That ain't what I'm talking about either. I'm saying if you will step into spiritual reality, connected to God, standing in what God says, walking in righteousness and justice, God will take care of the influence part. Y'all with me? That's what God is calling us into. I want to close by telling you a story and giving you a Bible verse that's impacting me. For the last 5 or 6 years, Reagan and I, my son, we've gone to Kansas and gone deer hunting in the fall, and that's a lot of fun. That's a daddy-son trip, and we look forward to it, and we've never had any troubles with that, but this year, Reagan got drawn for a tag to go hunting, but I did not, which means I cannot legally hunt in the state of Kansas this coming year. Keyword being legally. All right, some of y'all about to be real disappointed in me. I know, it's okay. All right, God knows, he ain't disappointed. He knows what an idiot I can be, all right? I can't legally hunt. And so y'all got to know, there's a part of me which goes, that ain't no problem, man, where we hunt. We in the middle of the sticks. Ain't nobody ever going to find us. We so close to the state line, I could be there in a heartbeat out the back door, man, on the low. Who's going to know? Right, I'm just telling you, this is the way my brain works. And I know I'm so disappointed. I'm disappointing you right now, and I'm so sorry. But it's the truth. It's the truth. I'm a beggar trying to tell you where I'm finding some bread, right? But then I got to thinking to myself, man, if I get caught, nobody else would, but I'm going to end up in the paper. I just assure you, I'm going to end up in the paper. Don't nobody read the paper anymore, but I would end up in the paper. Then I got to thinking, look, this has been over the last 10 days. I got to thinking, you know what? My wife already knows. And come on, man, how many of y'all know that's enough already? Oh, my wife knows, and my son knows. And I got friends who know. And I'm telling you, partly for accountability. Oh, shoot. But what I've had to wrestle down is God knows. God knows. And I could get away with it. I am very, very confident I could get away with it. But I've had to ask myself, is it worth risking God's ability to bless my life supernaturally? When we sang a minute ago, all my life he's been faithful. All my life he's been so, so good. I don't know if y'all believe that about your life, but I know that to be true about my life. I do not deserve anything that I have. He has been so good to me. And so what I've had to wrestle with, would I be willing to throw that away to kill a deer? Would I be willing to throw away my ability to pray for you, believing God would supernaturally favor that so that I could selfishly have a moment? And I've just concluded that it's not worth it. I'm not saying that I'll never do anything stupid and blow it and end up in the paper. I'm capable. But I can see this coming for 5 months, and I'm just like, I'm not doing it. I don't want to do that. And here's why. I look at this verse. It's in my bathroom. I see it every single day. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. And look what happens. His children are blessed after him. I want my kids to walk under an umbrella of blessing that they don't deserve. Like I'm walking under an umbrella of blessing that I don't deserve because my mom and dad were people of integrity, righteous people. I want you to walk under an umbrella of blessing. I long for that. How in the world could I throw away honesty when I'm asking other people to be honest? I've chosen to say, God, I want my life to have influence, but I got to do my part and trust God's going to do his part. All good? Now, here's the way I want to close. We're going to pray, and then we're going to have a song that just says God's a good, good father, and he's good when you're not, and he calls you into a deeper experience with him. It's an amazing song that you can sing and just say yes to God on. Okay, and while we're singing that song in a minute at every campus, there are going to be some spiritual counselors at the front. You can have them pray with you, over you. You can just come to the front and kneel and pray for your family, for your future, whatever that is. Okay. But before we do that, I want to ask all the men present today, grown men and young boys, man, would y'all just stand up with me right now? If you're at home, stand up. If you're at church, stand up. Come on, man, just stand up with me right now. I want to pray with you, ladies. I want you to pray for these men who are standing here. Okay? So, men, just close your eyes. That way you ain't worrying about nobody else looking at you. You do not have to put your hands out. That is not a requirement. I do oftentimes just as a way of saying to God, I surrender, and I sure do need some help down here. And so if you feel like you could do that, you can. But I want to pray this. Ladies, I want us to pray this. And men, I want you to pray this for yourselves. God, you see me. I'm standing here. And you see me. You know me. You know my brokenness. You know my weaknesses. But you're not surprised and you're not disappointed. And God, you love me anyway. Thank you. Forgive me, Jesus. You see my upside. You see my capacity. And I don't see it in myself. But God, you see it. Help me to see what you see. Help me to believe for what you have placed inside of me. God, I want to be connected to you. I want to hear your voice and know you and walk with you every day. And if you've never done that before, if you've never accepted Christ, do that now. Jesus, come into my life. That's all you got to pray. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Change me. Change me. Would you pray this? God, would you help me to be a leader to my family? Now, that may be one day. It may be you think you've made a mess. Would you just pray, God, let me be a leader to my family? It may be your brothers and sisters. It may be your mom and dad or your cousins and nephews. But God, would you help me to stand in righteousness and to walk in justice? Come on, can you pray that, fellas? God, you've chosen me for this purpose. So help me, Holy Spirit, help me. And Lord, would you let my life be a blessing to the people I meet? God, I want life and peace and joy. I want those things to flow from my lips. God, I want love to come out of my life, God, my hands. Lord, I pray it be so. And Lord, I just speak supernaturally right now. Would you release the promise of this word today? That God, when men turn to you and say, God, I want to walk in the righteousness and integrity, God, that you release supernatural blessing. Would you do it right now, God? Would you give us help to be this kind of man? God, would you give favor to our households? God, would you turn hearts toward us, open doors we can't? Lord, let your kingdom come, I pray. We love you, Jesus. We ask this now in your name. Amen.